This podcast was born out of necessity. I couldn't not make it. I've spoken to thousands of people over 20 years, as a journalist, then as a therapist, and I've heard mind-blowing stories from some of the most successful people in the world. Founders, CEOs, authors, artists, athletes, about the life-changing things that they have tried to get them through a difficult challenge or to help them be the best in their field. Their stories are so powerful and honestly so weird that I couldn't not put them all together in one place and share them with you. By listening to what weird shit works for them, we might be able to find some weird shit that works for us. From Reiki to regression therapy, from mushroom trips in a tent in Amsterdam to mindful meditation, crystals, tarot, acupuncture, binaural beats, talking to trees, mud baths in Bali, and telling your deepest, darkest secrets to a horse. This is Weird Shit Works. My guest today is an example of someone who brings their whole self to the table. Gijs van der Wal is design director at AKQA in Amsterdam. He is the creative talent behind some of the world's most famous brands, including Nike, Discord, Burberry, Glenfiddich, and many, many more. He started life in a small town near Eindhoven. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. He started life in a small town near Eindhoven in the Netherlands and grew from a child who found it tricky to fit in, navigating through his younger life with more questions than answers. At the time, standing out was difficult for Gijs, but it is exactly this that today is his superpower. Today, he consults with world-famous big brands about how to stand out. He is one of the world's unique creative thinkers and approaches life with mischief. He can find the fun in any situation, no matter how challenging. He is a self-confessed pop culture fanatic. There is something so refreshing, fun, and lighthearted about it, he says. Character traits that I would also use to describe him. Although he has a deep, darker side, his capacity to empathise with others can take a toll, and the weight of responsibility as a leader of one of the most awarded digital agencies in the world can weigh heavily. To cope with the weight, he lifts weights, using strength training as much for his body as for his mind. It's just a moment for yourself, he says, like taking a long shower. His work is an expression of his soul. He is the embodiment of passion and authenticity. Learning to balance truly being yourself into corporate life has been wild, but also rewarding. Gijs van der Wal, welcome to Weird Shit Works.
Wow, thank you, Charlotte. What an introduction. I'm like so impressed by like everything you said and super, super stoked to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me and telling the world about some of the weird stuff that you...
Let's get weird.
Let's get weird, exactly. So let's start a little bit with some of the work that you're doing in the world at the moment. Tell me a little bit about how you introduce your mischief and your own personal weirdness into the work that you're currently doing.
It's a great question. So I think for me, it's very much this aim to like break boundaries in a way. Like I think within corporate life, you're so bound to the boundaries and the norms of everyday work. In the end of the day, we all just want to earn money and like be happy, right? So that's also very much like when you come into work, I feel it's this place where your professional life is so different than your personal life. And I've always found that like this balance between it quite actually weird, because it's like there's such a disbalance between that. So I think like for me, like embracing authenticity indeed is like a core part essentially of what I'm trying to do at work.
Yeah, yeah. Authenticity is such a theme that, I mean, you and I have spoken about for a long time. I think it was so interesting to watch you support you on your journey recently with integrating your authentic self into your role as a leader. Would you talk a bit about that? What, you know, whatever you feel comfortable to include, but would you talk a bit about that journey and how you've navigated really truly showing up as yourself?
Absolutely. Let's get straight into it. I mean, like, I'm very much appreciative of this podcast because I think it's interesting to hear, I think, backstories about people in different backgrounds, essentially, to get into the work. I think if I look at it from my own perspective, I started AKQA 6 years ago, roughly. I started there as a junior designer. I was hired by, I think, one of the most talented, inspirational leaders I've ever met. Her name is Ross Horner. She's a design director at APAC at the moment. And she's just one of these people that you meet and you'd be like instantly like inspired by. And I was living there at the time in Melbourne, but I couldn't really find my ground living there. And after like a month or three, four, I was like, hey, listen, Ross, like, I got to move back. Like, I feel everything in me that I need to move back. And ironically, I've stayed still in contact with her. Just to take you a little bit on that trajectory, I then moved back to Amsterdam, where I'm originally from the Netherlands. So I grew up in a small town next to Eindhoven, lived in Amsterdam for like 10 years. So that's pretty much my home base for the past few years, and started there at AKQA. So had a transfer back to the Netherlands. And when I started here, I very much was just a designer, really. Like, I was just working on like projects between like digital design, brand design, a bit of product design, a bit of branding. And I've always had this mindset of blending brands with product and uniting that in through brand experiences. And that's the part that I personally am most passionate about. To get into like the authentic part, so like what I've noticed in these years after that is just like trying to fit in a way, trying to like do the work and also just be yourself. And I think this also comes with age, I'd say. Like, I'm not 31 now. I was like 24, 25 when I started. And I think that trajectory has been like both a personal development and a professional development. But I found it very interesting. The more I felt like I became myself and the more I believed in myself and the more I stood up for myself and shared my voice and my opinions, the better it went at work, actually. I think being opinionated as a designer, I think, is a great asset to have because people are ultimately looking for perspectives in there. They're looking at AQA as the experts, and we are the experts in some of the fields there. And I think that's what I personally find the most interesting part, that like, we're working, obviously, as a, like what I was said in my first point, kind of like you're working with all these different like businesses and CMOs and marketing leads and communication teams and all that. But in the end, everyone's human. There's just this like layer of like corporateness around it. And I think AQA is like, for me, a really good place and a really beautiful embodiment of this place where you can kind of blend really good, strategically insightful, purposely work, but also just have fun. Like, it's really not that deep. Like, we're working in a field that is driven by creativity and innovation, and that's what we all stand for. It's obviously that you get caught up in feelings, and people are emotional beings, and I'm very emotional, and bringing that to the table at work very much so. But I think through believing in myself and through just being authentically yourself at work is what has given me a lot. To dive a little bit deeper into that, you asked about like the obstacles and like the challenges I faced during that. Like, it's definitely hasn't been easy at times as well. Like, I'm come from a background, obviously I'm Dutch. My family is like lovely, lovely family. I love them so much. They are also just a true embodiment of connection and warmth and this bubble that we're in together. And also the older I'm getting, the more I realize like how actually similar we are, and especially within our communication styles. Like, what I notice is like we come from a family where we just say how we feel. Mm. That's very much just what it is. Sometimes we also have like moments where we just don't talk about that and where we're maybe a little less authentic and we don't say the things that we want to say. But my family is very, very opinionated, I'll say. So I definitely learned that from my dad and my brother, and having that kind of approach to be like, you can just tell like that sense of directness into it. And for me, it was just natural. And I've also had that style, like in my role, and especially when I started to grow more into director role, that style didn't always work, to be really honest. And I saw myself as like, oh, I'm like authentically myself, this queer gay guy, like working with the people. I'm like one of the teams, the team members, I felt. But also people just saw me as like an intimidating big man at times. And I think that kind of thing was really interesting. And it didn't become through size or like that necessarily, but very much became through like how I communicate, like being so direct to people and expecting them to respond well to that. Like that didn't go well at times as well. And I think that's been a massive learning curve for myself, to be a bit more empathetic, learning to read the room a little bit more, learning to understand different voices and different styles of communication, and kind of using your own authentic self to adapt to different people and to adapt to different types of leadership and management. And I actually found it really interesting, because what might work for one person doesn't work for someone else. So I think that's definitely, I think, like what I've also learned from some of like AQA, some really good leaders. Like there's some amazing talents around you. And I think it's pretty mind-blowing to see, like especially in the Amsterdam studio that I work on with on a day-to-day basis, there are so many different types of leaders, and you learn just so much from everyone around you. So yeah, that's I think a little bit of a nutshell, like how I try to be myself, at least at work.
It's so interesting hearing you talk about that journey from, you know who you are on the inside and your intentions, where you're coming from when you're communicating so directly, but then saying, actually, the way I've been received has kind of been in opposition to that, and learning how to express yourself so that you're more easily understood by others has been something I've seen you work so hard at these past few years.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because it's like, and we've chatted about this obviously a lot, Charlotte, in our catch-up. I think a sense of empathy and warmth, and also expecting others to be fully authentic, or wanting them to have that full sense of empathy, and wanting to have that full sense of, let's just embrace sort of like our human sides. And I think it's very fascinating to see that like some people have that naturally, and some people a little bit less. I think there's, yeah, I've very much learned from many people at AQQA to like adapt that in.
And one of the things that has struck me most about you, my God, when I think about when we first met and had our early conversations.
Oh my God. Night and day.
I loved meeting you for the first time. Oh. Oh my gosh. And being by your side for the past, I don't know how long we've worked together, but at least 5 years, maybe. Is it that long? It must be.
Yeah, I think so.
To see that journey of emotional intelligence, the development, the commitment that you've made to that is extraordinary. And then that has paid off so much, not just in your progress in your career, but in the relationships you've built, in the way that you're showing up as yourself over and over and over, and then also encouraging the people that you now lead to bring their full self to not just to work, but to their work that they create for your clients. Yeah. It's amazing the way that you've embedded emotion into everything that you do.
Ah, that's so nice. I appreciate you saying that. I think it's indeed interesting, because like we've been working for years together, and I think like I very much appreciate it as well, like how you were one of the first peoples as well that value empathy and honesty and just true authenticity, and they can help you navigate in the working world. And I think I found it really interesting to see that, like, when I started working at AQA, like, I totally didn't believe in myself, and I had such, like, negative chatter constantly within myself. And I think many creatives would recognize that. Just the previous MD once told me that creatives are their own worst enemies, and I very much echo that, because it's, as a creator, if you're constantly that inner saboteur, like, talking to yourself about, like, I can't do this, like, this colors look shit, what the fuck is the typeface, like, how are we gonna up, like, oh my god, and that imposter syndrome, I think, is so real. I think the pressure that people put on themselves in younger generations coming in big agencies like this, like, are very much real, and they very much exist. And I think it's you don't really learn really, like, how to overcome that. So I think through coaching with you and through talking to other leaders, like, it very much helped me to believe in it. And it's, like, to your point, I'm very much trying to tell the team I'm managing now, and, like, to teach that as well. Like, I 100% believe that the trajectory from a junior designer to a senior designer is, yes, you'll enhance in skills, and yes, you have a wider tooling to play with, and you have more experience. But the biggest change really is just confidence, just believing in yourself that you can do that, and knowing when to speak up, and knowing when to ask the questions, and knowing when to shut down a little bit as well. Like, I think that balance, I found fascinating, because, like, you have so much power within yourself, and it's up to you how to unlock that. That there's a light inside of you that it's going to be fine. It's really not that deep. It's going to work out. It helps you to approach work in a more light way. Still, like, wouldn't say that I don't take things, they feel heavy at times as well. But for me, it's about, like, coming back to my balance in the end, about just embracing that I'm like, you know what, it was tough, but I'm coming through it, and I will go through the next milestone as well.
Yeah, and that resilience that you've developed to take the rough with the smooth, that's obviously come to you, as you say, through more experience, through age as well, and also through having some weird experiences in your life on purpose. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the weird things that you have tried, and what drew you to trying them? So talk to us about your first weird thing. What is it?
So the first weird thing is, like, as I was saying, that, like, sometimes you kind of need to have an inner voice that teach you otherwise. And as I was saying, like, overcoming, like, negative internal chatter or these negative voices, I very much believe in, like, mantras and, like, all of these kind of things. You know what? Sometimes when you feel so low, or when you feel like you've got all these blockers, sometimes you just need that voice. And thanks to the power of ChatGPT, I've kind of learned to, like, find ways for myself in that. So sometimes, like, what I would do for, like, big meetings is I would just go into ChatGPT and, like, talk about, like, oh, I've got this meeting today, and these people are involved, and these are the type of clients, and these are the type of people that will be involved. This is going to be the outcome. Just tell me for a second, like, that today is going to be fine. Just tell me that, like, today is going to be, like, a good day that I'm going to go through. Tell me, like, how far we've come on the project. Tell how, like, how hard the team has worked, how many people has touched it, how I've contributed to it, how it's really just going to be fine. And it's funny, because, like, I literally prompt that to ChatGPT, and then it just, that's like, he just kind of, ChatGPT just kind of, like, blends the words together, and I kind of reformulate that to be like, you are going to be fine. This is going to be a great team. The team has worked hard. You've contributed to it, and all that kind of stuff. And it actually very much helps me to just, like, you know what? It actually is going to be fine. So I think that's been, like, a good sort of, like, tangible kind of thing that I've been doing. But it also is a bit of an extension to, like, what I said before. It's like, it's the joy and the laughter, like, approaching that, because even the ChatGPT example is just, it's just kind of dumb in a way, you know. It's just like you prompt that yourself, and then, like, it exactly says that, like, what you want to hear. But in a way, it's about reflecting on your own. I think the act of just telling ChatGPT what I would like to hear or where I feel like my mind should get the words helps me to get into that zone.
That's so cool that, yeah, you're saying it and then it's reframing your words back to you. It's like a pretend friend that's actually,
yeah.
actually it's is you. Giving,
yeah, it's giving like, please love me kind of energy. Yeah.
And so how have you noticed that that weird thing has shifted something for you in the way that you then carry on with the meeting or with the project? What do you notice is the difference?
I feel it's very much a belief. And I think, as I said, like, because you can have these voices and that negative chatter, it helps me to think of the bigger picture and to helps me to like, just take a stance out of like the negative chatter, essentially, and just very much focus on the good and very much focus on like what actually brings me joy and what actually is going to benefit myself, the team and the work in the end. And I think it's like, that's just very much been like the core thing, I'd say, to like, gain like regain that focus and have that purpose to approach it.
It's so brilliant because exactly like you're saying, you're taking the negative internal dialogue, the imposter syndrome stuff that you mentioned earlier, all the questions that aren't helpful for us to ask ourselves, you shove it into ChatGPT and then it's reframing your internal dialogue to the flip side, the positive message instead. So brilliant.
I think that's kind of like what I'm trying to do with everyday life in a way, just like trying to reframe like things and like moods and emotions as well. I think leaders, they very much bring the weather to the team. And yeah. I think you set the tone. I saw this the other day. It was this quote of like leaders kind of like bring the sun from a grounded place. And I thought it was like such a beautiful way of articulating, like having the sense of like, okay, what I'm doing for myself, I can now help others with. And I remember like one of our first sessions, Charlotte, I asked about some personal thing. I was like, can I talk to you with this about work? And you were like, you're one person. Your experiences don't end just at work. You bring your full self to work. So if you're having a really bad day, you will bring that to work. And that's totally fine because we're all human and we all have bad days in a way. And I think that's been very helpful for me to know as well. Like you do bring the weather indeed. And sometimes you bring a bit of shit weather and sometimes it's hella sunny. I think if it's overall like more sunny than it's cloudy, then I think, you're on a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking back to our early sessions too, I don't know if you'd feel comfortable including this in the podcast, but decide afterwards.
Yeah.
Hearing you talk about bringing the weather and being the sunshine and elevating into a place of being a director, it reminds me of literally the environments that you have been in. We spoke years ago about this place that you were living. It was really hard. It was noisy. It was stressful. You couldn't think. You couldn't work. You couldn't sleep. You know, it was really like low, dark vibes. And now, my God, your apartment, for the listeners, Heist lives in the most extraordinary apartment. It's right up in the sky and it's got all glass on two sides, are completely glass. You're like elevated up into the sunshine. It's like this where you've lived has followed the journey that you've been on in your emotions. I know, I feel like maybe I'm reaching that. That's so cool how you've done that.
Yeah, I actually love you bringing it up because like that new house that I found is indeed like it's very much an embodiment of like things I value in life, which is stability, comfort, calmness, a place to truly be able to express yourself and have like that house just brings me so much joy. And not to be like braggy or anything, but I just like that place generally gives me a lot of happiness in my life. Sometimes I sit on my couch and I just like watch like the sky unfold, and especially during spring times, it's just this beautiful calming place. And I think
so also,
I say that like I truly believe in a way that like you need those kind of moments, like whether that is through a certain family, a certain people in your life, or a physical place, or hopefully like a combination of those three. Like where you can ground yourself and be safe and mm-hmm. be true to yourself and be truly calm, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I think the place that you were describing before, like, girl, I was not calm there. I was just like, yeah, it was a little different times. Yeah,
but that's taught you so much. And the journey you went on with resilience and bringing the sunshine into the dark places.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary to see you live through that and elevate yourself in your career and literally in where you live.
Yeah.
So tell us about your second weird thing.
My second weird thing, okay, I visualize a lot. Like, I'm a very visual person. So that I'm very much articulating with my hands and very much just like using that as a way of like explaining myself. And sometimes that just like I do that like underneath the table or something where I'm just like going like this, but it very much helps me to see a situation a bit more clearly. And I think that's been like an interesting part to talk about. I think my, like, the way I approach, like the way I'm my brain kind of works, because when I was in school, when I was younger, like, I wasn't like great at like all the courses or like had like above standards kind of learning, but I did have a lot of dedication, I'd say. And especially within arts and crafts, I was always just like very much into working with my hands. I was always just like, yeah, very much into just doing it, essentially. And I think that's also very much from like my background and my family. That's something that we've learned, just like get your hands kind of dirty. And I think that also is just a way of explaining things for myself. It is actually really helpful for myself to understand like how your brain works, because I remember being in school when I was studying for design. And I think what I did there is very much this, I had this course, I remember, which was called Human Computer Interaction. That was a course.
Okay.
And it was all about just like how the computer works and like how it was sort of like different language programs you have and how sort of like the interaction you works and how you can have like patterns and all that kind of stuff. And I, to be fair, like, I've read the whole book, but I didn't understand a clue. Like, I had no clue what was going on in that book. So then fast forward, I failed the test because I had no clue. Sometimes you read it, but you don't get it.
Yeah.
That's definitely something like a big theme in my life. I need to kind of visualize things for it to become clearly. And I think come back to that course at my uni, like, I like what I did afterwards at the second round, I just visualized the entire book. I just had like a sketchbook and I started just drawing out the entire book. It didn't have to be pretty because I'm really terrible at sketching, but that's also very much what I'm actually doing. Like, even now, like, I have like a notebook always with me.
Yeah.
And I try to just like use that to like circle around or to make connections in my head and to do that both with my hands, but doing it also on paper, where I just like make little sketches and just very much a place to get dirty, essentially. So that's actually something that helps me a lot. And I think in extension to that as well, like, I'm definitely a person that like loves obsessing over crafty details, very much like who I am, really. Like, my house is like hella organized and a little bit OCD at times in terms of like keeping things neat and colorizing my socks and like all of that. It just brings me clarity.
So you are taking stuff that you're reading, that you're listening to in meetings, in briefings, and the incoming information sounds like you're filtering it through your hands, whether that's gesticulating when you're talking to join the dots, or whether that's then actually scribbling, sketching in the book. And then you're saying, if I understand correctly, that make you turn the mess into meaning through your sketches or through your gestures.
Yeah, it's actually a beautiful way of articulating it. I think mess into meaning is quite a beautiful phrase, because I think that's also maybe a little bit like how the creative process kind of works.
Right.
Where kind of like you take like insights and strategic positioning and thoughts and ideas, and you kind of mesh that and all of these things together, then become something beautiful and works and tells a story. So actually quite a nice like analogy of that.
Yeah. And so What would your advice be if you could give some advice for someone else who feels like that, that they're not easily able to make sense of information that's delivered to them in a standard way? How can your weird shit help them make more sense of things?
What a beautiful question. I love that. I'd say, like, find your own way of receiving information and making it work. Some people very much love collaborating and, like, love being in meetings, and they love just having group energy and, like, being very present in a meeting room, whereas others, they don't value that at all, and they have a hard time, like, getting the information. So I think finding what works for you and trying out certain stuff and trying out different styles of communicating, I'd say could be a way of finding your own voice in there, because I think it's ultimately, like, there's no right or wrong way. And even, like, the stuff I said before, like, that's not, like, the, like, only the truth. There are, like, way more approaches to have, and way more ways of finding your own voice. And I think it is very much about trial and error, really. And I think it will be an ongoing process almost as well. So I think it's good to, yeah, just really be open and find what works for you, essentially.
So the third thing, tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah. So for me, the weird thing is to, like, just really approach the work with joy and laughter. Having this sense of that you can do it differently. I'm not sure how weird that is, really, but if you see that, like, how unweird other people, I'll just reframe it a bit. And it's actually mind-blowing how unweird people are in corporate land. Like, very much just like, I think what I said before, right? Like, trying to, people are trying to prove themselves, obviously, within a corporate setting. And I think we work in a performance-driven industry, which makes it only natural to be your most, successful self, and, like, put your best feet forward and find this way of, like, being truly yourself and finding room to be yourself while doing good and hard work. And I think the weird thing there for me very much is just, like, to bring light and to say the obvious thing as well, to give people compliments, to laugh at stuff together, like, very much just, like, have some fun or just make some jokes or try to uplift the room and try to get people on the same page. Because I truly believe that, like, that is helping you in the end to create better work. We're working on, like, a big global brand rebranding project at the moment. I think working with, like, loads of different stakeholders and partners and all that. And I very much believe if you approach situations where you might want to, might want to steer some camaraderie and good vibes together, it's truly by just being human and have some fun with it. Like, there's so many examples, I'd say, of times where truly just having a laugh at really shitty situations has helped to clarify the energy a bit.
What are some examples that you've either lived through in your work life, or, I mean, you've traveled a lot, you've traveled in beautiful places in the world. I wonder if maybe you've learned to bring the joy from having seen others do that. How did you learn to tap into the lightness to help brighten up the dark situations?
That's a really good question, actually. I think it's part of, like, I would say, like, part of it has always been part of me. I think that's just naturally my personality. So I think that definitely helps me in a way as well. I'm not trying to be, like, the clown or something. I'm just myself, which is a bit of a clown maybe. Like, I naturally have a very loud voice or, like, a loud laugh. And I think that just, I think I didn't realize that really until, like, literally, like, maybe, like, 5 years ago or something. But people are always just a bit like, you've got a weird, like, evil kind of laugh. Like, sometimes describe it as, like some evil kind of energy. I have that's literally just my laugh. Like, that's, like, I can't think anything about that. But I think sometimes people, they look at me and, like, are you crazy? And then sometimes in meetings as well, when people like, I start to laugh and it's just like, just comes naturally to me. Like, and then people are like, yeah, he's got a bit of a funny laugh.
When I was writing your introduction, I actually took it out, but now I wish I would have I wish I would have left it in because I can't remember exactly how I wrote it, but it was something like Heist approaches life with a balance of melancholy and madness.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Like, I feel all the feels, like truly like Scorpio energy here, where it's like very much the highs and the lows, I'd say, in there. Yeah. So I think it's just very much who I am in that way. So I think just more so like to go back to the point, it's like just to I think you asked how I came about it. It's partly because of who I am, but also seeing people around it. I think the Amsterdam team has an amazing leadership team. There's some of like I keep being fascinated, like how great talents work at AQQA. It is literally mind blowing because it's like we have such a broad range of offerings that like really stretches from like brand design to digital to experience to growth performance to data, like everything you can imagine essentially across like experience led business transformation. Like that's at the core of what we do. So that brings so many types of people. Yeah. And I think that like across like a leadership team, there are some of like, man, like it's the, like just a really talented group of people. So I've also learned from everyone in there, to be honest. Like everyone has their own unique personality and everyone approaches things differently. Yeah, I would just say like just try to lean on others a bit as well, like to find your own voice. And I think that goes for all different levels and seniorities as well, where you can just just try out stuff. And also have an open mind about not getting it right directly.
Yeah, it can be really scary, can't it? To try and fail in an environment, like you said, where we're all just striving for success and performance centered.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit, if it's okay with you, about this transformation. When I think about you, I think about transformation. We've talked about when we first met and your emotional intelligence transformation. We've talked about your living environments and how you have transformed from, it's almost like gone from the basement to the penthouse. I mean, it's not almost, it's literally that's what you've done. Would you be happy to talk a little bit about how you have transformed or how you have brought confidence and this lightness to your body and mind through your fitness?
Absolutely. I generally believe that like if you want to take good care of yourself, like you need to also just physically take care of yourself. Like it's not just mentally, and I think it's not just going to therapy if you're into that, or going to like meditation if that is your way. For me, one thing that helps a lot is like physical exercise, like weight training, weightlifting, strength training, anything along those lines helped me a lot, because what it does for me is that it helps me to recenter my balance very much. So like I usually train before I go to work, and I started with this powerlifting coach a few years ago, and he is like, what a guy. Like he is so amazing at just like giving me a very healthy relationship with weightlifting as well, because I think it's very easy to like get obsessed within certain things easily. Well, I have at least like a tendency of finding a new thing that I'm into and just totally just not finding my way of being healthy essentially with it. For me, what it helps a lot with is just confidence, really. Like I think it just blows up a sense of being in contact with your body, really. And I think that balance between it very much helps me to stay centered. Yeah,
because your work is so much in your head space, it must be then really important to drop into your body and have that connection.
Yeah, sometimes like I think about it, it's like it's actually so dumb as well, like just doing I don't know like weightlifting and just like don't have to think. It's much more meditative actually than I first anticipated it would be, because it's a moment where things just fall into place. And to your point, like it helps me to dissect like thinking throughout the day versus actual physical work in the morning, where you just like have a moment where you just, I don't know, connect with yourself as well through like physical exercise.
And it seems to have brought this light into your life, your connection with fitness and health. It's brought the joy, yeah. brought the sunshine. How have you noticed things shifting for you since you really incorporated this into your lifestyle?
It's funny because like my coach once told me that like the gym never lies. It's like, and it sounds like a fitness guru maybe here, but like it is actually very true, because it's like, it's just what it is. And sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days. And I think that also helped me, I think, to face the reality a bit more. People often see it as like a shallow kind of thing, maybe to like, I don't know, pump some iron and then like go to the gym and all that. But for me, it's much more than that. And yeah. I think, but not being ashamed of just fooling, owning yourself in that, and owning sort of like, no, I love doing that kind of stuff. Right. So I think there's, an extension of what we said before. For me, embracing pop culture, embracing like going to the gym and like having fun and taking things lightly actually helps me a lot to do more deeper level thinking in the work itself.
Yeah. And it fits with what you were saying before about bringing all the weather and being able to ride yeah. the storm, and the gym never lies, and you have good days and bad days, and at work you have yeah. good days and bad days, creatively yeah. good days, bad days. I think yeah. you're such a strong example of someone who can incorporate all of life's experience, all of the emotions, and always turn yeah. it into something that I don't know how to describe you. It's like it always gets transformed into something meaningful or beautiful, or there's just this way that you're able to take the hits and ride the highs and the lows that's really amazing. And I wonder if it sounds like the weird shit that you do and have tried really helps you be able to ride the highs and the lows.
Thank you for saying that. I very much appreciate that. So it's just so nice of hearing you reflect on my thinking a bit as well. It's like, I love what you said before as well about like transformation. Like, I think that's very much like a nice summary, I'd say, of like what that will be growth, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing so much and for giving us your stories and advice. I think people will love to hear how you've navigated your way through the ups and downs. I really appreciate you coming on this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. And also thank you for everything over the past 5 years. It's like, I think you've actually been like the first person that actually got me into thinking about mental health and thinking about going to therapy and all that. And I think it's you are very much like the starting stone of me getting on that journey. So also massive thanks for you. And speaking of transformation, I think like it definitely starts with like a really strong, insightful leader that has helped me a lot, at least a lot, to like find that voice. So it's like, thanks for giving me a platform to talk about, but also massive thanks for you for guiding me along the way and guiding me towards how I feel now.
Well, thank you for trusting me. It's an honor.